there's much we can say in ways of introduction or preliminary, and I don't know what to say, so I'll just say pray for it. I'd like to turn to the first chapter of Ephesians towards the latter part of the chapter. And Brother John and I have not discussed this at all. Beginning in the 13th verse. Ephesians 1 and 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. 15th verse. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. Now here's the prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. And then he lists three whats, W-A-W-H-A-T, three of them. That's what we'd like to try to talk on, the Lord be our help. That ye may know, first, what is the hope of his calling. What is that? That ye may know what is the hope of his call. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And third, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now, notice if you would that those three things that's included in those three watts, W-H-A-T-S's, those three watts, is his calling, his inheritance, and his power.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's all his.
Yes.
It's all his. But Paul is praying for this church. Not only this church, if you go to the first couple of verses, let's just read it real quick. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Well, we're not there. We're not the saints which are at Ephesus. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. By God's grace, we perhaps can claim that. So this is to you and I today. And Paul is saying that the way that you can know this is that God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Look how specific that is. That God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know these three watts. Now, if the Lord gave me grace for any of these ministers, they could preach months on this. And take each... Yeah, some of the membership of Bethel's kind of saying, yeah, I know that. looking at the what's involved in each one of those watts, it's just beautiful to slow down, as I've heard Elder Quarles say, just slow down when you're reading God's Word. Just slow motion down and read what it's saying. First, what is the hope of His call? What is it? It's calling here. What do you think it means? You got an answer? Most people, when they hear the word calling, especially if it relates to God's calling, and rightfully so, they think about it in terms of God's quickening and being made alive, regenerated, to bid you come, to call you forward. You know, that's not what this word means. What this calling means actually is selection. Go look it up. That's what Strong's would say it means. Selection. What is the hope of His selection? It's akin to another use of calling that you're quite familiar with. It's found in the 8th chapter of the Roman letter, and let's look at it real quick. Lord help us with this. 28th verse. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You know that's not regeneration? It's not. You know what it is? Selection.
That's right.
Right. The call. Don't leave out the thee. Who are the call. It modifies the who. It's the object of the... It's a noun. Who are the call. That's election, folks.
Amen.
That's what that is. Who are the call. Now, you drop down in the 30th verse. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. That's a verb. That's regeneration.
Amen.
Here in times, He calls the called.
Amen.
But you're the called. Well, let's go back to Ephesians. First chapter of Ephesians. This is the call. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us. There's the selection. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the blood. That's the call. So what is the hope of election? That in essence is what Paul is saying. That ye, with your eyes enlightened, that having the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you might know what is the hope of election. You thought about the hope of election? My friends, I believe this 8th chapter of Romans starts listing what that hope of election is. Here it is. For whom He did foreknow. It's hard for me to separate election with whom He did foreknow. Not just knowing, but for loving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Knowing in an intimate way.
Yeah.
Knowing in a covenant way.
Amen.
For whom? Not what. Whom? He's talking about people.
Yeah.
Not talking about things. He's talking all through this. He's not talking about things. All through these five things, it's about people. And it's all the same people, which is the people who are referred to as the call. And they all work together.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
They're not in conflict with one another. They're not they're in absolute perfect harmony with one another.
Amen.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. You know what that image is? I don't believe it's the image we get in election or in regeneration. We've been our destiny, my friends. Our destiny is to be conformed to the image of His Son. That He, His Son, might be the firstborn of many brethren. There are people regenerated before the Lord took a bodily form. What's that talking about? That's talking about the resurrection. We can go over to 1 John and prove that to be so. Don't take time. Moreover, whom he predestinated, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also... glorified. What's the advantage of this? Why would Paul want these people to have the eyes of their understanding and have that spirit of wisdom and revelation that they might know what is the hope of this calling? Why? I believe toward the latter part of this 8th chapter is one of the key benefits, my friends. Because with that will come a persuasion. Persuasion is an inward certainty.
Amen.
It's not persuasion like we hear about it today, that we're having to be sold on something. That's persuasion. It's an inward certainty. It's an inward knowledge. It's an inward identity.
Amen.
There's an experience that goes along with election. That we know that we're not our own. That somehow we know, my friends, that God knew us way back before we knew anything else. We can go into Scripture and so forth, but we want to move on. But what is that hope? The hope of His calling. For I am persuaded that neither death... Notice that's the first thing. How do we normally refer to that? We usually say life and death, don't we? It's not what this says. This says death and then life. I am persuaded that neither death nor life. You know, we're about the only people I know of that in unity I trust. And we don't talk about this much. It's not something that we have in our articles of faith, what I'm getting ready to say. But there probably are. But I don't know of any old Baptist that would find this to be a surprise. We do not believe that suicide will send you to hell.
Right.
You know how common that is among people?
Yeah.
I could take off on that, but we won't. That neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's the hope of the calling, my friend. Is to be able to know that somehow, some way, we are bound together with our Lord.
Amen.
That nothing, including ourselves, can separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
Which is in Christ. Look at the assurance of that, my friends. While things around you might be on all shifting sand, and we find ourselves so many times a victim of circumstances and things that happens around us. Yet here is something, my friends, that is solid and it's sure and it's steadfast and it has been ever since. There is no new thing under the sun.
Amen.
That which has been shall be. And this is one of those things, my friends, is that God has determined His love upon you, and it shall not be shaken.
Amen.
There's assurance, my friends, in it. We need that.
Amen.
As we sojourn. Let's move on. What is the hope of His call? And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Now slow down, Brother Mark, as he's told me. Just slow down and listen to that. What the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Brother John, I believe that's part of those things you were talking about. Where is it deposited? In the saints. What is it? Inheritance. Whose inheritance? His inheritance.
Amen.
The Lord has an inheritance. That's what the words just said. His inheritance. Where is it? It's in the saints. What is an inheritance? Well, there are certainly many definitions, no doubt. Legal definitions, no doubt. What my little study has said is the word here simply means, and it's going to surprise you. You ready? It means possession. Possession. Now, we know an inheritance is something that is attained usually by a birthright of some kind. We have scripture that would certainly tie into that back again in the 8th chapter of Romans, where it says, "And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." There's an heirship. But my friends, let's hang on to that for just a sec. What's glory? What is glory? Here we go again, right? What is glory? Well, I think it's the manifestation of God's majesty and splendor. You know what that sounds a little bit like? Sounds a little bit like gold that's polished up. The majesty of God's or the manifestation of God's majesty and His splendor. Now, hang with me a little bit. Whatever this is, whatever the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, whatever that is, we have obtained. How do you know that? Because I can read words in the Bible. Look, if you would, at the 11th verse of this first chapter of Ephesians. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." What word could you insert in that to make it more clear? Whose will? His will. Just make sure you understand who that is. His own will.
Amen.
As opposed to what? As opposed to your will, or my will, or the church's will, or the gospel's will, or any other will. It is only according to the purpose of His own will.
Amen, brother.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me over in the 9th chapter of the Roman letter. 15th verse, 9 and 15. "For He says this to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not..." This might be a surprise to some folks now. "So then, it is not of him that willeth." It's not!
Right.
It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God who showeth mercy.
Yeah.
Now there's things in this life, my friend, that is up to your will.
Right.
But this isn't one of them.
Right.
Your eternal welfare has nothing to do with your will nor my will.
Amen.
We are absolutely passive in it, my friend.
Amen.
Okay. Having done all of this, let's try to see if we can get to the crux of it. What is the manifestation of God's splendor and majesty that can be defined as a possession that He has in you, not to you, in you? And you have obtained it. What is that? My friends, in my view, it has at its very heart the fact that you have been made partakers of the divine nature of God.
Yeah.
That's regeneration.
Yeah.
That's regeneration. And that you might know that. And you might know the riches of that. And you might know what that means, my friends.
Amen.
That God possesses your inward being, your soul, your very in that deep place that Brother John was talking about. That's God's possession in you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Let that dwell for just a second. That is God's possession. He owns that.
Yeah.
It is His.
Amen.
And it's in you. Okay. We have poorly talked about these two things. We've tried to talk about the hope of His calling. And now we try to talk about the riches. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The hope and the glory. Do you have any scripture that comes to mind that has to do with hope and glory in you? I got one. Paul says again in the first chapter of Colossians, beginning in the 25th verse, he says, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." When you get it all said and done, my friends, that is the riches.
Yeah.
Is Christ in you. And you've already attained it. Because His divine nature is in you. Continue to dwell on that for just a second. Let's go to the last item. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power? What is that? What is that? As we think about creation, my friends, we soon get lost in the power of creation. That God would just say it so, and so it is. That He could just say, let there be light. And there was. And then days later, made the S-U-N up in the sky. That He could make the light before He made the sun. Read it. That's what it said. I'm lost already. That God would just speak it, and it is so. He would just say, when you get to first chapter of John, He says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and was not anything made except by this Word. How did He do it? He spoke it into existence. Explain that power. He didn't take His hands and mold these vessels. He just spoke it, and it was. And we're talking about creation. Let's listen to the 19th chapter of Psalms. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, nor language where their voice is not heard. We have heard some out of the 40th chapter of Isaiah. I love this in the 12th and 13th verse of that 40th chapter. Just listen. It's like poetry, my friend. Just listen it. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with the span? Just relax for just a few moments and wonder, if you would, at the power of God in creation. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, holding the waters of the entire earth just in the hollow of His hand. You remember back in the day when there was that big drought and so forth, and I don't want to get into all that, but the prophet prayed and so forth, and he went out and sent a servant to look, and finally there was a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And what did he say? You better get off this mountain, Akeem. It hadn't rained for years, but it's getting ready to rain.
Right.
I'll tell you, the hand of the Lord, my friends, is more powerful than anything you and I could think of. And I want you to know that hand of the Lord is connected to the arm of the Lord. And the arm of the Lord, my friends, is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Just think about it. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, singular hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Declare the majesty of God, the power of the Almighty. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him. With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding. No wonder in the Songs of Solomon, at the description of our Lord, finally could say, He is altogether lovely.
Amen.
He is beyond description. Whatever you have in your mind to describe the power of God, it is greater than that.
Amen.
Words fail.
Yes.
How do you see the power of God displayed? You see it in a sunrise or a sunset? That's the first part of what I just said. The firmaments itself declare the glory of God. Do you see it in nature? Heard about folks have just finished a trip to California and seeing all the various things. They went by car and took about 2 weeks to do it, and seeing all the beauty between here and there. The Grand Canyon, all of the majesty, all of that splendor. We have a picture of my wife's grandfather, Elder Troy Corley, just viewing and looking down into the Grand Canyon. And he's always had a white shirt on, a white shirt and slacks and so forth. And he has his hand on his hip, and he's just looking, and a hat on, and he's just looking. No, he's just pondering the greatness and the majesty of God. Or are you like me? Do you see the greatness and the power of God when you see an infant. When you see just a babe. Just hours old. And just view the intricate work. Talk about an engineering effort. The work of just the human body itself. And just declare and wonder at the majesty and the power of God. And to know that God is able to speak to the heart of that little infant when it's still in its mother's womb and born it again of the Spirit of God. Declare the power of God, my friend. It's beyond my ability to draw a word picture for you. Yeah, we can just put our hand over our mouth and just wonder at it. Who would doubt the power of God? Having said all of that, that magic, that majestic, unspeakable power of God, my friends, is the same power that works in you to bring belief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Amen.
That same power.
Amen.
Let me read it to you. That you might know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward.
Yes, sir.
Who believe according to the working of His mighty power. First time I ever heard Elder Hewlin Bass preach in my life was in the state of California at Santa Paula, and he can give you the year if you want to ask him. Or if he doesn't know right now, he can go back to his notes and find you the exact time and date in which it was. He's done that for me. I just forgot when it was. And he preached on belief in its root, foundational form, my friends. And this is a belief that every child of God has, independent of anything else except God. It's a root form of belief. And it's according to the working of His mighty power. Let's try to block this in. Paul is praying for this church. And not only this church, but the faithful in Christ Jesus. And he says, ever since I've heard of your faith, Chambers Creek, I love coming to this meeting. Whether it's held at First Church, whether it's held over at Indian Oaks, or whether it's held at Farmersville Church, I love coming to it. I love to join in fellowship. I love to have a love feast with you, with Christ Jesus, our feast. That we might feed upon Him.
Amen.
That we might eat His flesh and drink His blood, as it were.
Amen.
That we might know the substance that He has, that He gives us to feed upon. I love this. And the lack of a better word, there's a better word. The fame of this, my friend, has gone out.
Right.
And people know of it. Don't get haughty about that, and you don't. But understand, my friend, it is a beautiful opportunity, as Brother Clifford has told us, that we might once again, as a people, have access to things that angels desire to look upon. And that's talking about those creatures in heaven's world, my friend. Desire to look upon. And we can look. And by God's grace and Him giving us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and our eyes being enlightened, we might know what is the hope of His calling.
Amen. Amen, brother. Yep.
And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. We share that.
Amen.
We share that. That we might renew that once again.
Yeah.
And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which was not only shown in creation, my friends, but also shown which He wrought in Christ. When He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. You know, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that causes belief to work in you.
Amen.
So, how you doing with all of this? How you doing with these three watts? How you doing?
Good.
Thanks. Good. All right. Have you mastered them? Anyone that has mastered these, don't you dare raise your hand. Sit up for your benefit, right now. If you think you have mastered these, you're ahead of the Apostle Paul. Something. There's a term that I'll go ahead and use, and I hope it's right. There's people that talk about you're possessed. Well, you are possessed.
Amen.
God possesses you.
Amen.
Well, you know it or not.
Yes, sir.
God. What? What? Know ye not that you're a temple of the Lord? You're not your own. I tell you, that's part of the beginning of knowledge. Part of that fear is to recognize you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Something has laid hold upon you. The sooner you recognize that, and the sooner you submit yourself into that, the sooner you'll be able to know the depth of what these watts are all about. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Paul says in the Philippian letter, 3rd chapter in the 10th verse, and we'll close with this, that I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable by His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. Neither were already perfect, but I follow after. If, here it is, that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended. You know what the word apprehend means? To lay hold of. That I might lay hold of that for which I have been laid hold of.
Exactly.
That I may lay hold of that which is laid hold of me.
Amen. Amen.
That is a lifetime proposition.
Amen.
And three people today have been referenced who has finally laid hold of
Amen.
It. Not in its fullness, but more than what you and I have here. When we die and we pass into that other life, and that inward man, that soul which shall never die, my friends, when that spirit and soul goes back, they're apprehending something that they haven't quite apprehended while they lived here.
Amen.
But it's not done.
Right.
Because that body is part of that purchase possession.
Amen.
And He's coming back for it. And then, body, soul, and spirit, we will have finally apprehended that that has apprehended us. So what are we to do now? Brethren, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. So I give up, so I complain, so I become a victim, so I become weak. No. But this one thing I do. Look how specific this is. Not three things. Here's how you start mining. Here's how you start digging deep within yourself and begin to lay hold upon that that has laid hold upon you. Here's how you begin to internalize and know and be able to grasp the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. And be able to have that power come over and over as God begins here a little and there a little. Upon precept, and being able to add and grow and so forth in our knowledge. This one thing I do. And it takes both of these things. And I don't know which one gives you the most problems.
Right.
But here are the things. Forgetting those, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know how much that robs us? We carry that baggage, we carry that stuff, we carry all of that weight with us all the time, and Satan is just happy for you to do that.
Right.
Don't carry it, folks. Forget those things which are behind. What can you do about them? They're behind you. Learn from them, but don't carry it, by God's sake. Don't carry that baggage, church. Leave it behind. Forget those things which are behind. Sonny, this is to you. I got some things I need to forget about. Forget those things. And reaching forth to those things which are before. If you're hanging into the things which are behind, how are you going to reach forth for those things which are before? Your hands are going to be full with what you have behind you. Turn loose of them. Wheel and reach forth for those things which are before.
Amen.
Whoever said we are a progressive church, amen, we are. We are. We are. How progressive. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's how progressive.
Amen.
What I mean by progressive, my friends, is we have what the Lord has given us. And the point was made, much of what's said in the name of progressive is not progressive, but regressive. I say amen.
Yeah. Amen,
trying to go back to items of the law and dig them up, whether it be instrumental music or whether it be tithing or whether it be whatever it is. Just leave them behind. They're fulfilled.
Amen.
Reach forward to those things which are before.
Amen.
Let me read it to you again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's here, that's now, and it's a full-time job. And help one another. Help me that we together as a church, and not just as Bethel Church or this church, but as the church collective, my friend, as the cause of Christ, might go forward.
Amen.
The future is bright.
Amen.
How in the world can you hear the able preaching that you've had by a younger generation that knows more than I know now, my friend? How can you not think that the future of the church is bright?
Amen.
Why would God have raised up such able gifts, my friends? Have you heard this morning? How could He raise up gifts like that if there be no future?
Amen.
Amen.
There is. Get our heads out of the garbage, my friends. Press toward the prize. And that prize contained in those 3 watts. May God bless you, Israel.
Amen.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes.